ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4. Canto 4 is titled The Creation of the Fourth Order. Chapter 31. Titled Narada Instructs the Prachetas, and text number 6. Yat Adhistam Bhagavata Shivinnaduk Sajena Cha Tadgrihesu Prashattanam Prayashaha Shapitam Prabhu Yat Adhistam Bhagavata Shivinnaduk Sajena Cha Tadgrihesu Prashattanam Prayashaha Shapitam Prabhu Yat Adhistam Bhagavata Adhistam was instructed. Bhagavata by the exalted personality. Shivena, Lord Shiva. Adoksajena, by Lord Vishnu. Cha, also. Grihesu, to family affairs. Prashaktanam. By us who were too much attached. Prayashaha, almost. Shapitam, forgotten. Prabho, O Master. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Master, May we inform you that because of our being overly attached to family affairs, we almost forgot the instructions we received from Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu. Translation responsively. O Master,
may we inform you
that because of
our being overly attached
to family affairs, We almost forgot
the instructions we received
from Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu. Remaining in family life is a kind of concession for sense enjoyment. One should know that sense enjoyment is not required, but one has to accept sense enjoyment inasmuch as one has to live. As confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.10, Kameshya Nindriya Priti, one has to become a Goswami and control his senses. One should not simply use his senses for sense gratification. Rather, the senses should be employed just as much as required for maintaining body and soul together. Srila Rupa Goswami recommends Anasaktasya Vishayan Vatarham Upayunjataha. One should not be attached to sense objects, but should accept sense enjoyment as much as required, no more. If one wishes to enjoy the senses more than required, he becomes attached to family life, which means bondage. All the Prachetas admitted their fault in remaining in household life.
Chakshurunmitamena tasme sri guruve namah shri chaitanya manobhistam sthapitam yena buddha svayam rupa kadatmayam dadati svapadantikam
jaya sri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda
sri advaita gadadhara srivasadi gaura bhaktavrinda hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama hare rama
Translation. O Master, may we inform you that because of our being overly attached to family affairs, we almost forgot the instructions we received from Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu. We are nearing the end of Canto 4, and lots has been covered. And we're also nearing the end of a very famous conversation between two very exalted personalities, Maitreya Muni and Vidura, on the banks of the river. Ganges. All right. So today's verse translation got the word forgot. Right. Forgotten. Forgetfulness is applicable to all of us. So on the banks of the river Ganges, and right from Canto 3, there's lots been covered in this conversation, and even going all the way back to creation, talking about how the whole material world creation took place, then how Lord Brahma came to be, how Lord Brahma got enlightened, and how Lord Brahma was given the instruction to populate the universe, to give the opportunity to the jivas to awaken their dominant love for Krishna. And in that process, two personalities appeared from Lord Brahma's body to help with the process of creation, populating the universe. And who are they? Swayambhuva Manu and Shatarupa. Okay. And from them they begot five children, three daughters, two sons, Devahuti, Akuti, Prasuti, Uttanapa, Priyavrata. So this is like a family tree beginning. We now know where our family tree is coming from. Okay, we didn't come from the apes, we didn't evolve from the apes. We came from Lord Brahma, the creator, the topmost father in the material world. But our supreme father beyond that is Krishna. So with these three daughters and two sons, Bhagavatam has been revealing in this conversation between Maitreya Muni and Vidura. Devahuti married who?
Kardama
Muni. And then they had nine daughters, who went on to further populate and create progeny. And finally, who was born in that pastime? Who appeared?
Kapila.
Lord Kapila appeared, and he liberated his mother, Devahuti. Akuti married the sage Ruchi. They had one daughter, one son, and Bhagavatam briefly reveals their pastime. Prasuti married Daksha. Okay, and they begot 16 daughters. The youngest daughter's name is
Sati.
Sati married who?
Lord Shiva.
Lord Shiva. Okay, and then it further revealed the pastime of Lord Shiva, Sati, Daksha. Now we are in the lineage of King Uttanapa. Right? King Uttanapa got married, and then he begot children. His very famous son is Dhruva Maharaj. Okay, from Dhruva Maharaj, then the lineage came down to King. This is our forefathers, our family tree. Yeah. King Anga. Okay, from King Anga came down to King Vena, a king that we don't want to learn any good things because he didn't have any good things. Then from King Vena, another famous personality, Prithu Maharaj. From Prithu Maharaj, then came down to Antardana. Yeah, from Antardana came down to Havirdana. From Havirdana came down to Prachinabai Sar. That's how it's all linking up. And from Prachinabai Sar, now it's coming up to the 10 Prachetas. Right? So, it's interesting that we have this family tree here. We're sitting looking all very different sizes, different shapes, different color, different sexes, male, female. But the fact remains, we are all coming from one family tree, and beyond that, in the spiritual world, we are all serving Lord Krishna. Right? So that's a connection. We are all one big happy family in the spiritual world. But we forgot that relationship with Krishna. Why we wanted to be separate from Him. We left the spiritual world, wanted to enjoy separately from Him. We are now in the material world, enjoying these wonderful material senses we have, correct? Yeah, we want to continue because today's verse is talking about material senses, talking about bondage, talking about forgetfulness. It's so applicable to where we are today. Now, but here, this verse today is talking about exalted personalities, prachetas, who are talking about forgetfulness. It's at a stage where they have gone through a lot in their journey so far in their life. And now at this stage they are saying they have almost forgotten the instructions of Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu who gave them darshan. Now this is a point of realization in their life. This is them bearing their soul, opening their heart to Lord Narada, Narada Muni, who has appeared in front of them now as the Guru. And now, in their state of spiritual maturity, the Prachetas are bearing their soul. They are admitting they are in trouble. They need help. They've gone through a lot. They've met Lord Shiva. They've met Lord Vishnu. And still at this stage, they are saying they are in trouble. And they are saying they have almost forgotten the instructions that they got from Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu. That's how powerful Maya is, as long as we remain in the material world. Even though we take our Krishna consciousness for granted, okay, even though we think we are in a protected environment like the ashram or the temple, the material energy is still working. It's always attacking the mind. Always attacking the mind. So it needs intelligence. Spiritual intelligence. And Prabhupada actually says how to use intelligence. Indriyani prani ahur indriye vya paramana. Manasastu parabuddhir yobuddhir parasastu sa. 342 Bhagavad Gita. Indriyani parani ahur. The senses are superior to dull matter. Indriye vya paramana. The mind is superior to the senses. Manasastu parabuddhir. Intelligence is superior to the mind. Okay. Then finally, what is greater than the intelligence? The soul. So Prabhupada in the purport, in the text, he says, understanding the constitutional relationship between the soul, the jiva, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, apply intelligence to control the mind, to control the senses, and that will solve the problem.
But it's a profound statement, but not so easy for us to go through this practice that we are going through now. It's not easy with practitioners. But there is hope, as what this past time, the Prachetas are revealing to us. As long as we remain in an ashram, ashraya, at the lotus feet of the spiritual master, there is always hope that we will go back to Godhead one fine day. It needs effort. But the journey is something of an interesting one, because if we look at the journey of what the Prachetas started with, where they are, there are similarities as to what we can learn from their journey. Right? So, they say, the translation here says, we almost forgot the instructions we received from Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu. What are the instructions that we received from Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu? Forgotten. How true, right? So let's go back to just remind ourselves what these instructions are, then we link back to where we are today in today's words. So Prachinabadi is the father of these 10 Prachetas. Prachinabadi was an expert in performing what kind of activities?
Karmakanda,
fruitive activities. He was an expert and he practiced mystic yoga as well. So, text number 10 in the Bhagavatam, which will be covered in the next few days, it says, civilized human beings have three kinds of births. One, the first birth is from biological parents. The second one is when the spiritual master gives Harinam initiation. And the third one is when the spiritual master gives the second initiation, the Brahmin initiation, where one actually performs deity worship. Our first gurus are then our biological parents. We've heard the same, Mata, Pita, Guru, Deva. So the parents who are in this conditioned world, with their own conditioning, when we take birth from them, they condition us according to what values that they know. If we have non-Krishna conscious parents, then at least they'll teach us good values, good behavior, good character, be obedient, be respectful to elders, okay, be kind, be polite. Then it's rare to get parents like Hiranyakashipu, where they don't believe in all this. Right? So majority of parents actually teach us these kind of basic values. If we have Krishna conscious parents, on top of these basic values, that's a bonus that the child which is born in a Krishna conscious family gets Krishna consciousness as well. Then as they are journeying through this, they develop. But in these qualities that we develop, it is still keeping us conditioned, it is still keeping us bonded to the material world. And we live within this conditioning, we go step by step. We grow up from parents, we move on to the school. The school also then becomes a training ground for us in further conditioning. The teacher, who is a guru, but is teaching material things how to strengthen our conditioning. There are no schools here except for Krishna conscious centers where gurukulas are there. Majority of schools out there are teaching the basic values to remain conditioned in this material world. So in this journey, as this jiva is wandering, lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, by some special mercy, This jiva comes in contact with Guru. Brahmande Brahmite Kona Bhagavan Jiva Guru Krishna Prasadapaya Bhakti Lata Bij. The many, many universes, many, many jivas wondering, some fortunate soul, or in this case, fortunate souls, the 10 Prachetas, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, they get the seed of the creeper of devotional service. And that happens in their pastime. That happened when they met Lord Shiva. They were wondering, because the father, Pachinabhai, he told them, okay, time for you all to get married. Okay, leave the house, go get married, beget children. Continue with this goal of needing to create progeny. So they leave the house, they go wandering. Very obedient, because of the basic values, the human values that are inculcated from parents. They took that, respected the father, left the house. So the father said, go and do austerities as well. Again, very obedient. And as they wondered where, they came to this big body of water. And what happens there? They have this darshan of this very exalted personality, Lord Shiva and his associates. Yeah? Now, it's a very, very rare privilege. As I said, Brahmanda Pramite Kono Bhagyan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasada Praya Bhakti Lata Beach. And this is special mercy, which is the first turning point in their lives, which is also a turning point in our lives when we come in contact with a bona fide spiritual master. And it's interesting as to how they actually receive Lord Shiva. The Bhagavatam says, because of their upbringing, they were not in Krishna conscious at that time. When they came in contact with Lord Shiva, the Guru, they were astonished. The word Bhagavatam uses, they were astonished. They didn't know how to actually receive a Guru. Same with us. Who remembers the first time that we came in contact with our spiritual master? How cultured were we when we received or we met or spoke to our spiritual master? I didn't know how to behave when I met my spiritual master. I had the rare privilege of being stuck in a lift with him, my first meeting with him. I simply did not know what to say. Instead of looking at him, I was looking down at the lift floor. It's like a case of being in ignorance, not knowing how to receive or even come in to just give respect because of ignorance. But here is special mercy from the Lord, because of Agyata Sukriti in previous lifetimes or because of Sukriti in previous lifetimes. The soul, the jiva, has come to a point where it's time, as the Lord sees fit, to bring the jiva in contact with a bona fide spiritual master. And the prachetas are having several spiritual masters. Lord Shiva, Narada Muni, and even Lord Vishnu, in a sense, is a spiritual master for them. They are triple fortunate. So when they met Lord Shiva in an astonished way, but their basic foundational culture values that the parents actually inculcate automatically make them pay obeisances. That comes because of the upbringing in the family. They pay obeisances. Now that was at an infant stage of their beginning of Krishna consciousness. But contrast that now, where they are meeting Narada Muni. What are they doing? In a cultured way, yesterday's verse we saw, in a cultured way they are standing up to receive Narada Muni, and then after standing up they are respectfully paying obeisances because they were first seated performing the Ashtanga Yoga. It would be uncouth, unrefined, from a seating position, when someone exalted walks in, you just go flat down from a seated position like that. So the culture is stand up, receive this elevated personality,
and then they pay obeisances. That's how the simple things are refined in Krishna consciousness. And then the transfer of knowledge from Lord Shiva, from Guru to Shishya, takes place. Now, transfer of knowledge needs to happen when there is a receiving mindset, proper mood, proper mindset to receive. So the Bhagavad Gita again says, what's the verse? Tat vidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshyanti te jnanam jnanina sattva darshanata. Pranipatena, approach a bona fide spiritual master. And what's the next word?
Render service.
Render service, that is sevaya. Before that word sevaya is?
Inquire
submissively. Pariprashnena. So here they are displaying submissiveness. Submissiveness, and how do they do that? With folded hands. With folded hands they are submitting to receive the knowledge from their Guru Lord Shiva. And when the Guru sees this kind of humble, sincere display of wanting to receive spiritual knowledge, then the transfer of that spiritual knowledge begins to flow. It depends on what mood, what humility, what sincerity we have in our heart to receive the knowledge. We are surrounded so much by spiritual knowledge. And when that flow takes place, there is so much that is transmitted to the jiva for the process of purification to begin. So Lord Shiva then says what? We give them one mantra.
Shiva Gita.
We forgot. Yes, Shiva Gita, Rudra Gita. Okay? Then that mantra flows, and how did they then practice that? Because after giving the mantra, after giving the knowledge, what did Lord Shiva do? He emerged from the body of water where they were, that lake or the ocean. And after giving the knowledge, what did Lord Shiva do? He re-entered. Right? He re-entered, he went back with his associates. Now after receiving this mantra, the 10 prachetas, they, in the mood of submissiveness and following the orders of the spiritual master, they entered the ashram of the Guru by entering the water. So the body of water is symbolic of the ashram, the Brahmachari ashram in this case. Brahmacharya ashram is for simply taking Guru's orders. It is for tapasya, sacrifices. Now, not just for brahmacharyas. Here, the prachetas are grihastas. They have left their grihastha ashram. So, tapasya is also for grihastas, those who are in family life. So, to become an ideal grihastha, one has to become grihastha brahmachari. Meaning, taking on the lessons that the Guru gives to a brahmachari, and that the grihastha needs to apply the values, the severity of tapasya, in applying that in their family household life. That is how the grihastha needs to control the senses which would be bombarding them in what they go through in their journey every day. Otherwise, they would be overly attached, as this purport here Prabhupada says. Otherwise, there would be bondage for grihasthas in their family life. So there has to be tapasya in grihastha life. And there has to be tapasya in brahmacharya life. There has to be tapasya in vanaprastha life. And there is also tapasya in sannyas life. The grihastha, Prabhupada says here, remaining in family life is a kind of concession for sense enjoyment. Grihasthas are the only ashram where there is this concession. The rest are all actually one of renunciation, where they are practicing austerities in a more intense way than the grihastha. In a way, the grihasthas are also going through intense tapasya. And when the prachetas were receiving this knowledge in that mood, when they entered the ashram, how long were they in the water? 10,000 years they were meditating. Finally, who appears? At the end of 10,000 years, Lord Vishnu appears in their lives. Why does Lord Vishnu appear? To give them prema bhakti? No, because they were performing tapasya in such intensity, Lord Vishnu appeared to actually reward them for their engagement in such severe tapasya. So the Lord is so merciful that if one goes through this kind of severe austerities, that he appears. But he also appears because Lord Shiva gave the prachetas a very, very important instruction. Lord Shiva told the prachetas, "All good fortune to you. I know why you have come here, and I have appeared simply to give you mercy." This is Lord Shiva telling. And then Lord Shiva makes a very important statement. He says, "You are all devotees of the Lord." Prachetas didn't know. Just like us, we didn't know. It's Guru to come and tell us that we are all devotees of the Lord, to awaken the dormant love that we have for the Supreme Personality of Krishna, the forgetfulness. So, when Lord Shiva made that comment, "You are all devotees of the Lord," and the prachetas have entered the ashram to perform tapasya, to reward them for this, Lord Vishnu appears now at the end of 10,000 years. And Lord Vishnu straight away says, I'm very pleased with how you are all conducting in one common occupation, that is devotional service, and that you are all engaged in a very friendly relationship, cooperating very nicely. But still no prema bhakti. And then the Lord for them, he says, "Okay, I'll give you benedictions now. Anyone, because you 10 prachetas have been singing the song of Lord Shiva in glorification of me, because you have offered the song of Lord Shiva in glorification of me, I now give you the benediction that all your desires will be fulfilled." What desires? At that time, there wasn't a desire to actually become pure devotees. There was a desire to fulfill their father's instruction of creating progeny. It was material desires. For even that, the Lord appeared and said, "Okay, I'll give you the benediction, fulfill your material desires. And I'll give you good intelligence." And they put their good intelligence to use as to where they are now in their life, because they realize, just like how Dhruva Maharaj, after going through such severe austerity in the forest and trying to attain the kingdom greater than his great-grandfather, kingdom greater than Lord Brahma, then finally he comes to the realization that, "I wasted my time. What did I pray for?" Right? So knowing what to pray for is very important. We can't have one foot in the material world. We can't have one foot in the spiritual world. Stand in the middle and pray to have the best of both worlds. That's what grihamedis do that. Grihasthas try to find a balance. They pray for devotional service, and
Instead of having one foot here totally in the material world trying to enjoy the material desires, they engage in material activity with the mood that they can use that activity to please the Lord. Whatever that they do. So, the Lord then says, alright, fulfill all your material desires. And to make it easier for you, I've found a bride for you. No problem, no hassle. Okay, Marisha is ready, the daughter of Pramlocha and Kandu. Okay, so marry her, create progeny, fulfill your father's request. And on top of that, I give you further benediction. You will enjoy all material facilities without any diminution in your strength for 1 million celestial years. The number 1 million is already big, correct? Right. Now, it says celestial years. That is celestial level years. But according to our years, that 1 million, one celestial year is equal to 360 our years, solar years. So, according to our calculation, 360 million solar years, enjoy. Long time. So, here, the Prachetas have got this boon of actually getting the darshan of the Lord, which we all aspire. But the mood with which they prayed for to get the darshan is to fulfill material desires. The Lord fulfills that. And then finally, there's this awakening in them, just like Dhruva Maharaj, as I said earlier. What did I pray for? They get that same realization. What did I pray for? And then in that darshan, when the Lord concludes, then they say, we feel purified now. When they say that feeling purified, it is the awakening that prayers that they have had, the desire that they have had, is not going to actually liberate them, but not going to take them back to Godhead. And what do they pray for at that time? They say, just give us the association of saintly personalities. With that realization. No more 1 million celestial years. No more want to engage in material life. But that's the prayer. And the Lord leaves saying that, Tathastu, so be it. You'll get it. What you desire for, you'll get it. You'll get it, but if you finish off your 1 million celestial years, at the end of that, you will get pure devotional service. So in a way, the Lord is saying, if you look after your spiritual life, your material life will be automatically looked after. And then the journey through, and finally they come into this association with Narada Muni. So here now they are saying, oh my dear Narada, the next verse, tomorrow's verse, they are saying, please enlighten us in transcendental knowledge. This is going to be the beginning for them to actually go back to Godhead. In one sense. So they've gone through Lord Shiva, they got the instructions, they executed that. Then they met, they got the darshan of Lord Vishnu. They got that darshan, but the real awakening came there to want to get purified, to desire pure devotional service. And that realization is very important, just like in the pastime of Devahuti and Kardama Muni. After Kardama Muni leaves home, Devahuti is in the care of Lord Kapila. So now Lord Kapila is the plenary portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. He could have easily pulled aside his mother and said, dear mother, sit down. Here, this is the knowledge that you really need to have.
get out of this ignorance. No, the Lord didn't actually force them. He was patiently just waiting for Devahuti to actually realize that she is in ignorance. And that happened one day when she actually approaches Lord Kapila in a secluded place and says, "Oh my dear Lord, I am very tired. I am very tired by the disturbances caused by my material senses. And because of my engagement in sense gratification, I have fallen into an abyss of ignorance. Please enlighten me." And that is the point of realization where devotional service begins, and that is the point from which Lord Kapila actually preaches Bhakti Yoga. So similarly, the Prachetas have gone through these processes of yogas, starting with what their father said, Karma Yoga, go get married, get children. Then they progressed under Lord Shiva's darshan to actually take up Jnana Yoga. They were receiving the knowledge. Then came to Ashtanga Yoga, because knowledge has to be applied. Prabhupada says, spiritual knowledge without application is useless. Shrama Evati Kevalam, if it does not connect to satisfy the Lord. Two types of knowledge. One is material knowledge, spiritual knowledge. Material knowledge will keep us in further bondage. Spiritual knowledge, if it is not applied, it is still useless. How are we applying the knowledge that we are getting in Krishna consciousness? It's a question that we've got to look at ourselves in the mirror and ask ourselves. Have we come to the point of realizing that we can't actually pretend to be devotional in front of our Guru in Krishna? Like here, this verse today, the Prachetas are actually bearing their soul to Guru. "O Master, may we inform you that because of our being overly attached to family affairs, we almost forgot the instructions." It's a confession. It's a confession saying that we have forgotten, we need help. "See me for what we are, open the body, open and see the soul which is still so covered." Only when we submit ourselves like that, when Guru is actually pleased with that submission, then there is nourishment of the Bhakti Lata Beej. Starting with the disciple, where the disciple is sincere, faithful, wanting to learn, Guru then starts feeding the disciple with doses of spiritual knowledge. And when the disciple continues to apply that in the correct mood of humility, of wanting to please the Lord, then this Bhakti Lata starts growing, going upwards, to finally come to the lotus feet of the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya displayed this. Who is Lord Chaitanya? Lord Chaitanya is the most merciful Lord who has descended in this age of Kali. Yeah? To give us the holy name. But he also gave us something that no other avatar has given. What did he give?
Krishna
prema. Krishna prema. The Shaligram Pujaris, when they do Shaligram worship, there's a prayer that we chant. And it's a verse from Antya Lila, Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 1, I think it's verse 132. Anarpita charim chira karuna yavetruna akala samarpayutam unnata jwala rasam swabhakti sriyam harihi purata sundara dyuti kadamba sandipita sada hrdaye kandare spuratuva sachinandana. May that Supreme Lord, who is the son of Mother Sachi, ever be manifest in the innermost core of my heart. He has descended by His causeless mercy.
In this age of Kali, Karuna Yava Tirunaha Kalava, he has descended in this age of Kali to give this causeless mercy that no other avatar has ever given. And that is the mellow of devotional service in the highest mellow of conjugal love. Unnata Jola Rasa. So here we are being so fortunate where we are getting this mercy from Lord Chaitanya, who is so merciful, to give this topmost mellow of devotional service in the simplest form of simply chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Because in the age of Kali, we can't do all this Ashtanga Yoga that the Prachetas are doing. So he simplified it, he gave us the topmost, the very essence, the rasa, the sar of the topmost mellow for this age of Kali, packed it all up in this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That's how fortunate we are, how privileged we are. In fact, Canto 3, Chapter 33 of the Bhagavatam says, for us to be sitting here in Krishna consciousness, to be able to chant the Maha Mantra, we have gone through many tapasyas in our lives, in the previous lifetimes. We have actually read all the Vedic scriptures. We have bathed in all the holy rivers. We have performed all kinds of sacrifices. And now we are chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in the human body, on planet Earth, which even the demigods want to come to, because this is where the holy name is heard. That is our special position. And we are receiving Lord Chaitanya's topmost rasa. Not that we want to aspire for that, because our mood is simply to be Das Anudas. I am not a Brahmana, I am not a Chakra, I am not a Vaishya, I am not a Sudra, I am not a Brahmacharya, householder, Vanaprastha, or a Sannyasi. I only identify myself as the servant of the servant of the servant of Lord Sri Krishna, who is the maintainer of the gopis. That's all we aspire for, to be engaged in devotional service where we can please the Lord. And that journey depends on how we remember the instructions that we are getting from Guru. And we cannot take our position where we are today thinking that we are in nice devotional clothes, we are doing service, and we are like the Prachetas in the Brahmachari Ashram. How many in the Brahmachari Ashram? 10 of you?
Nine.
One more to make it 10 like the Prachetas. Under lockdown now, it's like a nice, conducive, closed-up environment, like the body of water that the Prachetas went into to perform their meditation. But that's not enough. It comes down to service, and it comes down to the mood of service. And we can't take our position in Krishna consciousness for granted. Lord Chaitanya, when he was in Puri, when he decided to go on pilgrimage to South India, he wanted to leave alone Lord Nityananda. When he was there in Puri, he said, oh my dear Lord, take an assistant with you. Kala Krishna Das was sent with Lord Chaitanya to accompany the Lord, to be the Lord's servant. And for many months, Krishna Das was getting the association of Lord Chaitanya in the pilgrimage of South India. And even he, being in the presence of Lord Chaitanya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, was ensnared by Maya. We cannot take our position in Krishna consciousness for granted. How was he ensnared? There's that pastime in the Chaitanya Charitamrita where the Bhattadharis actually ensnared him using women, and they're like a nomadic gypsy group. Okay, they actually steal money and use women to actually ensnare people. So in that way, there was this seduction of Krishna Das, and Lord Chaitanya had to go and rescue his very servant.
The Lord never forsakes His devotees. Even though we fall down, even though we transgress, that's how merciful Lord Chaitanya is. But He takes us higher and higher and higher and higher and higher, depending on how we are in the mood of wanting to please Him in the service. In that pilgrimage in South India, there was a pastime with Venkata Bhatta. Venkata Bhatta, he is in the Sri Sampradaya, a devotee of Lord Narayan, Vishnu, very exalted scholar. So during the four Chaturmasya months, Lord Chaitanya spent, or he stayed in Venkata Bhatta's house. And they developed a very friendly relationship, just like how the Prachetas among themselves, they displayed friendly relationship. So when Lord Chaitanya and Venkata Bhatta actually developed this friendly relationship, Lord Chaitanya was churning Venkata Bhatta's heart to actually bring about theological principles of Krishna consciousness. So he took Venkata Bhatta to the highest pinnacle of understanding that Krishna is supreme to Vishnu, even though they are one and the same. So in conclusion, what I want to say is, we are in a very, very fortunate position where we are in Krishna consciousness under the shelter of Guru. How we now take it is, one, still depending on mercy of Guru, but a lot more depends on our endeavor and the mood with which we endeavor and what we endeavor for. The good thing about Krishna consciousness is we don't have to go through these ladders of yoga that the Prachetas have gone through. They've gone through Karmakanda, Jnana Yoga, Astanga Yoga, now they've come to Bhakti Yoga. But here, Lord Chaitanya has given us a shortcut all the way, being in Krishna consciousness. As long as we come in contact with the Hare Krishna movement, it takes us straight to the Bhakti Yoga platform. Correct? Special mercy. Hare Krishna. Questions, comments?
Thank you for the nice classroom. What was the qualification of the Prachetas that they got grounded in the darshan of Lord Shiva?
It's mercy, as I say, because in all these jivas which are wandering, Brahmande Brahmite Kono Bhagyan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. Yeah? To get the darshan of any exalted personality is simply the mercy of the Lord. And that mercy depends on the sukriti that we have been accumulating in all our previous lives, all the spiritual credits. As we know, spiritual credits do not extinguish when death comes. It stays with us drop by drop, every life accumulating. Whether unknowingly you receive it or knowingly you have been engaging in devotional service for many, many lifetimes, all those drops add up, and then it comes to a point where the Lord says, okay, He's ready now to receive a bona fide spiritual master in His life. Krantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.